Welcome to the internet broadcast of Big Z Sports. It's brought to you by Sammy Sue's Barbecue in Dover. Now, with the latest, here's Joe Geckler and Chris Cale.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Sammy Sue's Barbecue Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler. He is Chris Cale. Chris, it's Monday. We're out of a weekend.
Wait. Stop.
It is Monday. You're right.
It's Monday?
We're recording on a Monday this week instead of a Friday.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not. It's just something
we're really Monday? Are you sure I'm not trapped in like a Wednesday?
No, it is Monday.
Okay.
All right. And we're coming out of a busy weekend. The boys' high school basketball playoff pairings were announced yesterday. A lot of high school action over the weekend. Let's get right to it.
Yeah, we've got a ton of stuff. And real quick, before we get to it, want to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day out there, especially my wife and my kids. So happy Valentine's Day. No, I'm not getting you anything.
Why?
I'm just, this is my gift. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to them.
Oh, okay.
This is their gift. Happy Valentine's Day on the radio.
Okay.
Okay. Let's move into high school sports. From boys action on Friday night, we're only going to talk about two games. It was the two big ones that mattered in our area right now as far as you know, a lot of seeding and different things are concerned, and also a title. Dover moved to 14-6 and 10-2 in the ECUL with a 42-30 win over Zanesville. Dover's JV team finished 20-0 on the year. Tyler Bardall and Shamar Morton each had 10 points for the Tornadoes. New Philadelphia extended their win streak to 12 games in a row with a 58-48 win over Cambridge. New Philadelphia is now 14-6 and 10-2 after a 2-6 start on the season. You see where I'm going with this?
I do.
Okay.
New records, right?
Right.
Okay.
New Philadelphia shot 9-for-15 from three-point range, and Tyler Cox hit four of his behind the arc in the second quarter to help New Philadelphia pull away. And Cox finished with 18 points total. So, moral of the story is, both teams, Dover and New Philadelphia, 14-6, 10-2, sets up the huge matchup Friday night at New Philadelphia for the ECUL Scarlet title and huge points when it comes to seeding in the tournament.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Fun to see that game. I'm glad to see both teams are having good years. Dover's having a great year. Matt Vall's doing a great job at Philly, taking over that boys program this year. It's awesome to see when these teams are right there together. You know, Dover's an 8 seed, Philly's a 3 seed.
Right, that's right. I forgot. It doesn't matter seeding because seeding's already done. Dover's in Division One, the only team in our area that's in Division One, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. I would think Philly would be Division One before Dover, but
right. But well, and we know why.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So it is what it is. Dover is in Division One. Dover will be out quickly. It's just
draw.
The way it is.
Yeah, we'll go through the draw here.
They're done.
Yep. Division One, like Chris mentioned, there's only one team. Division One in our area, and it's Dover. They will take on Green on March 1st, and the winner of that game will play North Canton Hoover.
Yeah, and by the way, Dover, a better record than Green, a better record than two teams ahead of them, yet they get the lower seed. Popularity contest?
Yeah. Not quite sure how that happens, but you would think I don't think strength of schedule or anything else comes into play when high school. I think it's just record. But if you look at Dover and Green on March 1st coming up here in a couple of weeks, it's kind of crazy that tournament time is here. We talked about the girls last week, and now the
girls
boys.
Tournament starts next week.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, and if we go on to the rest of the pairings for boys high school basketball, Division II, New Philadelphia will take on Riverview on February 28th. Indian Valley faces Bel Air on the 28th as well. Claymont and Steubenville will take on, or will happen on the 24th.
And Steubenville, the 2 seed, too.
Yes, they are. And West Holmes will battle Meadowbrook, who is the 2 seed. Steubenville is actually the 1 seed.
Or the 1, I'm sorry. Yes.
And West Holmes is the is taking on Meadowbrook, and the winner of those two games will play each other on the 24th of February. The rest of Division II, Carrollton and Buckeye Local, that game will take place on the 28th. Now to Division III, the Garaway Pirates will take on Monroe Central on March 3rd. Coshocton will face Ridgewood on March 3rd as well. Harrison Central takes on West Muskegon on the 3rd. Newcomerstown will battle River, and Sandy Valley will take on Edison. All those games are on March 3rd.
Hey, wait a minute. What did you say? West what?
Muskegon.
Muskegon?
That's the name of it, right?
Muskegon.
Muskegon.
No, Muskegon.
Potato, potato. The rest of Division III, Fairless, will take on the winner of St. Thomas and Crestview, and the Highland Hawks will battle the Shamrocks of Barnesville on March 3rd as well. Tuskegee Valley will face Steubenville Catholic Central. All those games are on March 3rd. Now, Division IV, the number one seed Strasburg Tigers will take on Bellsville on the 28th, Malvern and Frontier on the 28th as well. TCC will take on the winner of Toronto and Shenandoah, and Conotton Valley will face the winner of Rosecrans and Bel Air St. John on March 3rd. That is a, you know, kind of a small capsule of the tournament games that we'll have in our area. All the teams are seated. What do you think? Obviously, we talked about Dover a little bit from Division II down.
I think New Philadelphia got a good draw. I really like Strasburg's draw, you know, with Highland not in their division. I really think that Strasburg's got a great chance to, even if Highland was there like they were the last few years, I still think Strasburg's got a good chance to go to the state Final Four this year. I really do.
Adam Hall's doing a great job over at Strasburg this year. Strasburg got him once in Strasburg, 47-45 in overtime just a couple of weeks ago, or a week ago now. And but you, like you said, Highland's Division III, Strasburg's Division IV, so they're not going to meet. Only team really in this area standing in Highland's way to get farther would be Garaway if they would meet up eventually in the tournament.
Yeah, so I think that we've got a lot of potential to have some teams, you know, New Philadelphia Division II, like I said earlier, I think they got a good draw, but they still got a, you know, some strong teams to go through too. I'm not sure New Philadelphia is, I don't know how to say this in the most polite way, but you win 12 games in a row and you're a pretty good basketball team, and it may have just taken those first, you know, five or six games to kind of start gelling. But I'm not sure. I don't think want to say Philly's overrated. I just don't think they're as good as advertised right now. And I could be wrong, and I hope they prove me wrong. You know, like I said, Dover, they're done. They're done early. I mean, if they get by Green, they get absolutely plowed by Hoover. So that kind of moves them out. You know, the other teams, I think Indian Valley, you know, they've had their stumbles this year. Garaway, I don't think, is going to stand in Highland's way. You know, Malvern might be all right. You know, we'll just have to wait and see. I think that we have a lot of potential teams on the boys and girls side to really go far. How about, you know, Malvern on the girls side, Tuskegee Valley on the girls side, and of course you've got the Highland Hawks in New Philadelphia, who's got a great record. I think they could go a long way too.
Sure. And if you look at the boys side, you mentioned New Philadelphia having a great season. They play Riverview, like I mentioned, and then they play the winner. If they win, they play the winner of Indian Valley Beaver. So it's going to be, be a local matchup, which would be a lot of fun.
And I think New Philadelphia beats either one of those two teams. I seen Indian Valley earlier in the year, and, you know, as much as I like Jamie Herman and I think that he's doing good things down there, I just don't necessarily think they have the size for New Philadelphia. New Philly's got some good big kids. They absolutely, you know, did what they needed to do. You know, the last 12 games or so, you know, they've rebounded the basketball well. They've shot well from the floor and from three-point range. I'm just not sure that a good defensive team comes in and stops a lot of that. You know what I mean? So, like I said, not trying to be negative towards New Philadelphia, just trying to be realistic and be an analyst, so to speak. And I'm just not sure that them or Indian Valley, for that matter, is as good as what they're advertised.
Yeah, Strasburg, we mentioned Strasburg Division IV. They have Bellsville, and then they play if they win that game, they have the winner of Shadyside and Caldwell. And if they get past that, possibly another game with TCC if they would knock off the winner of Shenandoah and Toronto. So yeah, possible.
Yeah, very possible for Strasburg to go deep. And that's why I said I'll be honest with you, Highland or Strasburg, I would put either one of those two teams up against anybody in our area. I don't care who it is. Dover, Philly, Garaway, doesn't matter. TCC, Malvern. I would put Strasburg up against anybody, including Highland. I you know, those are the two best teams in our area, I believe.
Yeah, and then if you look at Division III, you mentioned Highland. They play Barnesville, like I mentioned. And if they win that game, they play the winner of West Muskegon and Harrison Central.
West what?
Muskegon. And then also on the other side of that bracket, you got TCC, you got Tuskegee Valley, Coshocton, Ridgewood, Martins Ferry. So not much standing in the way of Highland. And I think that if you look at the top part of that bracket, Garaway's got Monroe Central. And then they're going to play the winner of Fort Frye, If they win, Fort Fry will play the winner of Bel Air and Union Local. So, you know, Fort Fry is the number one seed there. So
Union Local, pretty decent team this year,
too. Yeah, Union Local is pretty good. They're the number three seed. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. Garaway's a four. Of course, you've got Newcomerstown Ridgewood, or Newcomerstown River, Edison, and Sandy Valley all in that top.
Unfortunately, so, yeah, Newcomerstown not very good this year. Ridgewood not very good this year. Claymont just really has struggled this year. I've seen them. Man, they got some good athletes.
Sure.
Claymont does. It's frustrating to see that they've only won that four or five games this year because they really got a lot of good athletes, but they make a lot of mental mistakes. And I don't put that on the head coach. I put that on just, you know, they've been making them for years that I've been watching.
Sure.
The last 3 years that I've had them in a couple games, and it's a lot of mental errors, a lot of things that they just – if they could just figure those things out, they would be a 12-13 win team.
Sure.
And that's frustrating. And I know it's even more frustrating for their head coach.
Absolutely. And if Garaway would advance far enough and Highland goes far enough, they would meet in the regionals. So
nice.
It would be it'd be interesting to see what would happen in those games. Obviously, a lot of basketball to be played.
I think we got a potential for quite a few teams to go deep on both sides, like I said, girls and boys.
Sure, absolutely. Of course, Highland, very, very good. I know you got the recap from the weekend from the girls for basketball. So it's going to be fun. You know, I can't remember a last time when we got all these teams that really could make a decent run in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be fun this year in 2017.
Absolutely. And then the district swimming stuff was released, I believe it was yesterday. All that stuff was released for districts. I'd be here for an hour if I said everybody who made it to districts, but they took the top 30 swimmers from sectionals, moved them to districts. Dover, New Philadelphia, obviously a lot of kids going. Congratulations to everybody who made districts on the swimming side. On the wrestling side, on Saturday, Carrollton, their run came to an end in the state final four as number two seed Wasson. They claimed a hard-fought victory 34-30 to knock them out in the state semis. So congratulations to Carrollton on a great run in the tournament. And then, like I said, with the girls swimming, both Dover girls and boys won Division II sectional swimming titles on Saturday at Steubenville. Olivia Finley set a record in the 100 butterfly with a 102.15 for the Tornadoes. Sem Andreas set a record in the 50 free with a 20.771 for the Quakers.
Wow, that's one length of the pool, right?
Yeah, that's flying, dude. And, you know, on the girls' side, New Philadelphia finished 7th. Coshocton 14th, Garaway 21st. On the boys' side, Dover beat New Philadelphia for that sectional title. New Philadelphia 2nd, Coshocton 19th. So again, congratulations to all the swimmers that advanced on to districts, and I'm sure a couple of those were the ones that I just mentioned.
Absolutely.
And then again on wrestling, other than the Carrollton defeat, Indian Valley defeated Dover 34-32 as Indian Valley finishes 13-3 in dual meets and head to the PAC conference tourney this Saturday. Dover dropped to 23-4 in duels. They play host to Claymont on Thursday.
That'll be a good match. I mean, that'll be something to keep an eye out for.
Yep. And then Monday's schedule, tonight's schedule, in bowling action, New Philadelphia at Hoover, Glen Oak at Dover, TCC at Harrison Central. In girls basketball, finishing up the regular season, Danville at Coshocton, Fairless at Dalton, and then Special Olympics basketball, Jefferson County comes up to New Philadelphia to take on the Tuscarawas County Rockets at 6 o'clock at the Quaker Gym.
Well, that's a look at high school and everything else in the local area. We'll be back after we hear this message from Sammy Sue's Barbecue in Dover for all your lunch or catering needs. Check out Sammy Sue's Barbecue in Dover.
Looking for a great place to eat? Then head to Sammy Sue's Barbecue, first place winner of barbecue and ribs in the 2016 Times Reporter Reader's Choice Awards. At Sammy's, they pride themselves on their in-house smoked meats, made fresh to order dinners, side dishes, salads, and made from scratch soups. Sammy Sue's Barbecue is located on Front Street in Dover. Search for them on Facebook, visit their website at SammySuesBarbecue.com, or call 330-602-PORK.
Welcome back to the Sammy Sue's Barbecue Big Z Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler. He is Chris Kale. A quick reminder for our listeners, Chris, like us on Facebook, WTUZ Big Z Sports, and follow us on Twitter at @big_Z Sports. Chris, it's now time for headlines.
It is time for headlines. The Cleveland Cavaliers played Saturday night, and they beat Denver 125-109. LeBron James, 27 points, 12 assists. Kyrie Irving, 27 points. Derek Williams, who the Cavs picked up a couple days ago, signed him to a 10-day contract in his second game for an audition to get a long-term deal, had 7 points in 21 minutes. Kevin Love went out with a sore left knee. He will not play tomorrow night at Minnesota at 8 o'clock. And then, of course, they still hold a 2.5 game over the Boston Celtics, 5 over the Washington Wizards. Boston beat Utah on Saturday, 112-104, and they play tonight at Dallas at 8:30. And then All-Star Weekend this weekend. Joe, you looking forward to any of the dunk contest, three-point contest, the young, what is it? I don't know, even know what it is. It's the freshman stars, sophomores.
Yeah, the futures game.
Yeah,
sort of. Yeah,
freshman,
I mean,
and sophomores.
I don't know. I mean, I used to enjoy the dunk contest a lot.
Yeah, back when we were kids, it was like the thing to look forward
Jordan
to.
Jordan and Neek.
Neek and Spud Webb. Spud Webb.
Oh,
and,
yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Kenny Skywalker, yep. D. Brown.
I mean, it was a lot of fun, but, you know, I think it's kind of, you know, last year's contest was pretty good between Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine. Of course, LaVine's not going to be able to participate. He blew his ACL out last week. Gordon's going to compete in it, so it'll be neat to watch. I don't think I'm going to sit by my TV, so to speak, and wait to watch.
You're not going
to
make sure you set your DVR?
Probably not. And, yeah, you know, I think the most interesting storyline of the All-Star game is teammates on the West Side, Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant.
Yeah, after that'll what happened on Saturday night, you mean?
Yes, that'll be very, very interesting. So yeah, I might just
you've seen the headbutting and Robertson and,
you know, and KD getting mad about a hard foul. You know, that wasn't a hard foul. If you want a hard foul, you should have went headlong into the padding behind the you know, that wasn't a hard foul.
How about a hard foul? Speaking of hard fouls, how about Buddy Hield last night?
I didn't see that.
He got thrown out for hitting Boogie Cousins where you don't want to be hit if you're a guy.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Sun don't shine.
He whacked him. Well, the sun don't shine is kind of the backside. It's tough. If you see the video, the video's out there. Yeah. Boogie was setting a screen, and Buddy Hield was trying to go around the screen, and he kind of popped him right between the legs, they threw him out. No, didn't cause a fight. Boogie just kind of was like, threw his arms up. They reviewed it, and they threw Buddy Hield out.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I guess
that was a hard foul.
Yes, it was. That is a hard foul. That's a hard foul to take.
That's a hard foul, and Boogie might have been speaking a few octaves higher after that.
He might have been. But, you know, the All-Star game, I used to get into it a little bit, but
yeah, you know, ho-hum
we'll
right
see,
now.
We'll see what happens with it. But
in what? Is it going to end up 200 to 199 or
probably
something? You know what I mean?
Since
the All-Star game on Sunday?
Defense is prohibited, I believe. That's a new rule in the NBA All-Star game.
Yeah, right.
You just cherry pick the whole time and stay back and throw out alley-oops. And
I'll predict this.
All right.
Isaiah Thomas scores 48 and gets the MVP.
Stop it.
There's my prediction.
Did I see this correctly over
48
the weekend?
Off the bench.
Do the Celtics get the number one pick this year? I mean, is it possible?
I don't. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they've got a lottery pick.
Don't they have a pick from Brooklyn, like from 17 years ago when they traded everybody? That's crazy.
Yeah. They've got, I believe they have 3 first-round picks this year.
That's right.
Again, they had 3 last year. One was a lottery pick. They've got a chance to have three ones this year, and they could get the number one overall. Yeah, they've actually got
Brooklyn.
A very good chance to be the number one overall pick.
Brooklyn's awful.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's when they gave up Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett a couple years ago to them, and that's what they said. You know, we didn't want to give away Paul Pierce and KG, they wanted them to kind of finish their career in Boston, but in order for them to continue to build and win championships, Danny Ainge made the move, and now, to be honest with you, it's looking like, I mean, you couldn't ask for a much
wasn't
better
it like
deal.
4 years ago they did that? So they're still banking off of that trade.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. But, I don't know. The
and
NBA
Pearson's
All-Star game.
Done moved on, and KG's retired.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But, you know, the All-Star game, maybe not so much excited, but, you know, it might flip it on for a little bit.
Yeah, I think the more interesting thought is Kevin Love with a swollen left knee. He did have the MRI yesterday. The Cavs still have not released any results of that. Hopefully nothing serious for Kevin Love, who is an All-Star as well.
I'm not sure if he's going to miss the Minnesota game on Tuesday night, which is quite – you know.
A quinky dink.
Yeah, that is convenient. Yeah. But I don't think he played against Minnesota up there last year, if I remember.
Well, that's the whole point. Yeah. That's what everybody's saying. Oh, well, he's got a sore knee, blah, blah, blah. Whatever, you know. Kevin Durant took the booze. Whatever, just deal with it.
That was
nothing. How about everybody wearing cupcake shirts?
Including the Warriors in the postgame?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah, why are you wearing cupcake shirts? You're making fun of your own guy.
Well, they're making fun of the Oklahoma City fans for giving them the shirts.
Well,
you know, they bargained with them, of course.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. That game was fun to watch, even though, you know, Golden State is who they are. And, you know, Oklahoma City's probably not as good as they were. But, I mean,
the funny
you
thing
still got
is,
probably the MVP of the league. The
funny thing is, Golden State isn't as good as they were last year either, I don't think.
Their
record don't show it.
I would agree. But they're only three games off that pace last year. So.
I know, but still.
I know.
But it is what it is. All right, so moving on. How about in golf action, Jordan Spieth breezed to the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am for his ninth PGA title. He started Sunday with a six-shot lead and finished with a 270 for a four-shot victory over former U.S. amateur champion Kelly Kraft, who shot a 67. Jordan Spieth just tuning up for the Masters, I think. You know, he blew it last year. I don't think he blows it this year. I think Jordan Spieth's the real deal.
And then over the weekend also, I saw where Tiger Woods withdrew for the next two tournaments. Is he done?
Yeah, I said that. Remember on Friday night show a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Tiger Woods, and I don't think Tiger Woods ever wins another tournament on the PGA. Now, if he goes on to the senior tour or whatever, that's a whole different story. Or he goes and plays in Europe or whatever. But on the PGA tour, if he plays in a tournament with Jordan Spieth and some of these other guys, Dustin Johnson, Zach Johnson, he plays in with those guys, he doesn't win another tournament. I think he's terrible. I think he's lost what he had. There is no way on God's green earth does he break Jack Nicklaus's records at this point. No way.
Let me ask you this. You remember a couple years ago when, obviously, we all remember the incident with his ex-wife. You know,
That's what I'm getting at. I think that's the turning point.
Yeah, that was a turning point. But there was also some rumors flying around back then as well that he might be using some PEDs. Think of it this way. Dude hasn't been the same since all that happened with his ex-wife. Mm-hmm. And his body, he's 41. And his body is starting to not recover as fast.
Right, he's on the downside.
But do you think that is from the effects of PEDs? If you remember, he's had back issues, he's had knee issues,
he's
had shoulder issues.
Oh, yeah.
But if you look at these baseball players in the past that were, you know, they were accused of steroids. Barry Bonds, what do you have? He had knee issues, right?
Yep.
You know, Mark McGuire, shoulder. Back issues, shoulder. Yep. Sammy Sosa, same way. Do you think that is a telltale sign of maybe these reports might have been true about Tiger?
Well, I mean, I think so. I mean, you know, I don't know. You would like to think Tiger Woods had a lot of muscle on him, but he was never a big guy. He was never a Barry Bonds type stature. No. But Barry Bonds was his type of body stature, meaning Tiger Woods, back in the early 90s when he played with the Pirates.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Tiger never blew up into that, oh my, he's just
but
ripped
you could
kind
tell
of thing.
He got bigger.
Here's my thing. You know what I think it is, in all honesty? I think when you get embarrassed the way he got embarrassed and you get caught the way he got caught and you get put out there on blast like he did and your own wife beat you with your own golf clubs after catching you doing stuff you shouldn't do, I think that ended his career.
Yeah, and I think it started to slide downhill once his dad died. You know, I think his dad was his kind of like his rock.
He played for his dad, I think, in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. But I don't know. Tiger Woods, I don't think, again, he has a long, 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 long way to go, I think, before he wins on the tournament again or wins a tournament. I think he will win one or two again, maybe.
I don't think he wins a major.
Majors are a different story. But I don't think he has the mental game for a major right now.
No, I don't either.
But I think he can win on the tour eventually. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I don't know.
But he only needs, I believe it was like two wins to pass Sam Snead, I think, for all-time wins on the tournament.
But he can't even make a cut right now.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's, I think he is just mentally gone.
Yeah.
And when all that happened, his swing went to crap and everything went to crap. And it's a shame because I wasn't a Tiger Woods fan, but it was fun to watch Tiger Woods play. You know what I mean? If you weren't a fan of Michael Jordan, you still flipped it on because you like It was fun watching him play. Kobe was the same way. I couldn't stand Kobe Bryant. But you know what? I watched a lot of the last games of his career just because he was still fun to watch.
You know, in the same way, you know, if you mention like if Tiger 10 years ago, you know, when he was in his from 1998 to 2007, that was some of the best golf that you and I will ever see.
I agree.
In our
lifetime. He was incredible.
In the majors when it was final day and he was in the running, guess what you did?
Yeah.
You turned it on.
You turned it on because you knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Either he was going to win by six shots or he was going to make a miraculous comeback because he was down six and he won by one.
Absolutely. I mean, and it was fun to watch.
When he wore red on Sunday, you better look out.
Oh yeah, that was his calling card, so to speak.
And so we'll see what happens as we move closer to April and the Masters in that big major. So as we move on to the Ohio State Buckeyes on the men's side, on Saturday they lost to number 21 Maryland, 86-77. Mark Loving, 25 points. Jayshon Tate with 20. Freshman C.J. Jackson with 13 points. Trevor Thompson with 11 and 10, a double-double. The Buckeyes now 15 and 11. Are they done?
Yes.
Okay, they play at Michigan State
Tuesday. Unless
somehow
they would win the Big Ten tournament, which I don't see happening.
I don't either. They play at Michigan State on Tuesday at 9 o'clock on ESPN. The number 13 Lady Buckeyes beat Iowa 88-81 as Kelsey Mitchell and Shayla Cooper pumped in 20 apiece, pushing their win streak back up to 8 games. The Lady Bucks are now 22-5, 12-1 in the Big Ten, and that win assures them of a top 4 seed and a double bye in the Big Ten tournament. Lady women, for real?
I believe so. Nobody's going to beat Connecticut, though.
No, they go for 100 tonight.
That's crazy. This is stupid.
100 games in a row. Now, I believe it's televised.
Yeah, it's.
Are you going to watch it?
No.
Will you flip it on later on, maybe just to see what happens if they win?
I will flip it on if my phone pops on and ESPN gives me a breaking news that, hey, UConn's down so much with so much to play. I might flip it on then.
You won't flip it on if you get a thing on your phone and ESPN says, hey, 2 minutes to go and Connecticut's, you know, 2 minutes away from 100 straight wins. You won't flip it on?
No. If they're about ready to get beat, I would flip it on.
Okay. All right, fair enough. I'd probably flip it on if I remember.
I mean, yeah. I
may not remember, but
I have no
idea. And I don't think, I forget who they're playing, but they should wax
on. I think
it's
South Carolina. I think it's a ranked game. I think the team that they're playing is like number 6 in the country.
Really?
I'll have to look it up.
Check it out as I move on here. Anyway, the OSU women, they play at Nebraska this Thursday. Baseball action really stinks for you. Brandon Phillips, currently second of the active second baseman. He has hit the most. He has the most base hits in active second baseman. Brandon Phillips from the Cincinnati Reds to the Atlanta Braves. Your thoughts?
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it because he's old. I mean, he's 35. He's 35, so it's about time for Brandon Phillips to go. I mean, I think it's a couple years past. I think he should have been traded a couple years ago, but he had that no trade clause, so he didn't have to go anywhere. Well, the Braves worked it out with him and sweetened the deal, and he's from Georgia, Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Yeah.
And that's where he's from. The Reds got him from the Indians for Jeff Stevens way back in 2006.
Yeah, boy, that worked out well.
And, you know, he's had a great career, one of my favorite all-time Reds. I will always like Brandon Phillips. I mean, you know, it's time for him
to
go.
To be honest with you, he was kind of cocky when he left Cleveland. He was at that cocky point, and I think that's a lot of the reason why Cleveland
didn't get along.
Right, and that's why a lot of the reason why Cleveland got rid of him, because he had kind of a, I don't want to say major attitude issues, but he did have some issues. And when he went to Cincinnati, boom, he perked up, became the consummate pro, and has done a nice job. But yeah. You know, great career in Cincinnati, and hopefully he finishes out well in Atlanta.
He'll be a Reds Hall of Famer. I'm not sure he's a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer, but I think he's one of the best defensive second basemen I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's definitely a good one.
So.
Absolutely. And then the final headline I've got, don't forget, this weekend, NASCAR kicks back into action.
Oh.
The Busch Clash is Saturday night. On Saturday also is the ARCA 200. And then qualifying for the Daytona 500 is Sunday. Next Thursday is the duels. And then Friday night is the truck race. Saturday afternoon, the Busch race or the Xfinity race. And on Sunday, next Sunday, the Daytona 500. Which, who knows what's going to happen, but they've already announced that the segments will be 60, 60, and 80.
which I'm still confused about.
I know.
Remind me again who won the points race last year.
Who won the points last year? Well, Carl Edwards should have won it, but Jimmy Johnson won.
That's what I thought. I couldn't remember, honestly. Yeah. Now, your early pick 2 weeks away, who do you think wins Daytona?
Who wins Daytona?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Martin Truex Jr.
Who won it last year?
Denny Hamlin beat Martin Truex Jr. by like 2 feet, remember?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, I'm going to say Jimmy wins it this year.
Oh,
I'm just really? Throwing a name, but that's about the only name
Damn,
I know.
Jimmy Johnson needs to go away. I wouldn't mind seeing my new guy since Tony Stewart retired. It's going to be Kyle Larson. They call him Young Money. Kid's really good. Drives for Chip Ganassi Racing. What is it? This will be his fourth year, I think, in Cup. Was a great, great midget sprint car driver that moved his way, worked his way up through the ladder. Kid's really, really good. I think he's going to just improve. I think he needs to get away from Chip Ganassi and move on to a bigger, better team. I think eventually he does that. I think eventually he ends up with Tony Stewart. Either more than likely when Danica Patrick leaves. This very well could be Danica Patrick's last year, maybe in NASCAR. They're having sponsor issues. Nature's Bakery, who is her big major sponsor for 27 races this year.
What happened to GoDaddy?
Well, GoDaddy's been gone.
What?
But listen, Nature's Bakery is actually suing Stuart Haas. And, well, they were going to sue Stuart Haas and Danica Patrick because they said Danica is promoting other weight loss stuff on her Twitter page and stuff like that, which she is, and they're saying it's a breach of contract. So there's all kinds of stuff. There's a countersuit by Stuart Haas saying that Nature's Bakery backed out of their deal because they still owe money and all this other stuff. It's a mess. But if Danica Patrick doesn't find a major sponsor, then she could find herself out of NASCAR in a hurry. Maybe you see somebody like a Kyle Larson go there. But, yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Clint Bowyer takes over for Tony Stewart in a 14 ride.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, back to the NCAA women's basketball game. The big game for tonight. Number one, UConn plays at 9 o'clock, going for number 100 in a row. And they take on number six, South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
The South Carolina is 21-2 on the season. So, should be
the
interesting.
The Gamecocks.
Yeah, the Gamecocks. They are. It's the games in Connecticut in stores. Yep. So that'll be a little tougher. South Carolina's coming off a win over the weekend, so it'll be interesting to see, you know.
Well, did you see the interview on ESPN? They asked Gino Auriemma, the coach of UConn. They asked him, you know, are you looking for 100? Are you excited about it? He said, to be honest with you, I haven't even thought about it.
Yeah,
so he said to me, 99, 101, just important as 100. He said, if the girls go out and play the way they're capable of playing, we can beat anybody in the country. You know, our goal is to win another national championship and win every game. So 100 doesn't necessarily isn't a big thing to us. Well, yeah. we'll see what happens tonight when they're at home and they win their 100th game and they throw this big party afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, UConn is UConn. You know, they get the best 8-9 girls every year.
Yep, doesn't matter.
They're like the Kentucky or Duke of men's basketball.
Yep.
I would really like to see what Gino Auriemma could do in men's basketball, but he'll never cross that line.
No, he doesn't need to. He doesn't need to tarnish that. I would have liked to have seen what would happen if Pat Summitt would have stayed around, if she'd have stayed healthy and still been around, you know, and what would have happened with, you know, because they used to have great rivalry.
Sure.
There used to be some great games. There's really nobody other than maybe a Baylor once in a while that can compete against UConn right now. Tennessee's kind of fallen off the map. They're still, I believe, in the top 10 or top 12, but they've fallen off the map as far as it's concerned. Everybody's always worried about Connecticut.
Yep, they are. We'll see what happens tonight. Again, 9 o'clock, UConn women go for number 100 against the sixth-ranked South Carolina Gamecocks. Chris, good seeing you. We'll talk to you on Friday night. Friday night.
This is Monday. Wow, it's going to seem like a long stretch to
Absolutely.
The show.
Absolutely. You get a four-day break from it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. With that, this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Sammy Sue's Barbecue Podcast will come to a close. For Chris Kale, I'm Joe Geckler saying thanks for listening to this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Sammy Sue's Barbecue Podcast. We'll talk to you Friday night beginning at 6 o'clock.
This has been the Internet Broadcast from Big Z Sports.